Hi there and welcome. This is Amanda, the founder of Astrology Hub, and you're listening to our Week Ahead Snapshot with world-class astrologer, historian, and author of The Cosmic Calendar, Christopher Renstrom. This show is designed to give you a quick overview of the week ahead, enabling you the gift of choice in how you navigate and weave these energies into your daily life. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Christopher Renstrom, and I'm your weekly horoscope columnist here on Astrology Hub. And this week, I wanted to talk to you about two very significant planetary aspects. One of them is the Sun-Jupiter square that's taking place on June 28th. And the second one is the Mars-Pluto square that's taking place on July 1st. Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about this Mars-Pluto square. This Mars-Pluto square is very significant. Why? Because this will be the last time that Mars in the sign of Aries, the sign that basically Mars rules, will be squaring Pluto in the formidable sign of Capricorn. So whenever you talk about a Mars-Pluto square, particularly in two power signs like Aries and Capricorn, you're really talking about a power struggle that's taking place. But because this is the last time that Mars and Aries will be forming a square to Pluto and Capricorn, this power struggle that's taking place right now in our society is a very definitive and very significant struggle. Now, what are the things that are going to come to mind when you think of Aries and Capricorn forming a square to one another, represented by the planets of Mars and Pluto? Well, you're going to think about basically young and old. Aries is associated to the spring equinox. That's when the time of year that is associated with birth and things being young and fresh and just starting out. And Capricorn is associated with the winter solstice. This is a time of year that's dark, when the year is coming to a close, and it's been traditionally associated with things that are old and worn and perhaps even overstayed their welcome or outlived their purpose. So with this Mars-Pluto clash, with this Mars-Pluto square that's taking place, what you're seeing, as I said, is basically young versus old or sons versus father, or people who are railing or challenging the establishment in some way and the establishment which is holding back. So you're basically seeing action on the part of Mars in Aries versus inaction on the part of Pluto in Capricorn. I think it's very ironic that the people who are occupying these positions of authority, let's say we talk about our government, are very old. I mean, this is a very old generation. It's an older generation that's ever occupied these positions of authority. And what I find ironic is that many of them belong to the generation that used to say when they were young and rebellious, you know, this I'm talking about the 60s here, don't trust anyone over 30. And I think it's rather remarkable and even ironic that the people who said don't trust anyone over 30 are now those who are in power and who don't trust anyone under 30. Okay, so they're holding on to this power and resisting any sort of change that's going to take place. This is something that we would see like in our governments, which is not an inappropriate thing to bring up because Capricorn rules over government, as does Aquarius. But it's also something that we may see in our own lives where people who hold positions of authority are acting against actions to change or to introduce something new. The other aspect that's taking place this week that I want to touch on is the Sun-Jupiter square. Sun-Jupiter squares are often written about in older astrological texts as basically inflated egos, okay, that when there's a Sun-Jupiter square that takes place in the heavens, you're told be very careful that you don't get an inflated ego or an overly exaggerated sense of importance about yourself because something's going to happen that's going to take the air out of your tires or prove in some way to be a humbling experience. Now, this idea of a Sun-Jupiter square is really rooted in the notion or the word of hubris. And so that's something that really sort of drew me to wanting to talk about these two planetary aspects. Hubris. What do these two planetary aspects of the Mars-Pluto square and the Sun-Jupiter square have in common with the idea of hubris? Now, when you go and look at the word hubris, the original meaning of hubris, I mean, nowadays we think of it as I just explained, an overinflated ego, a sense of privilege, and that's going to spell disastrous effects, not only for the person who's full of themselves, but for all the people along for the ride in that person's life who's making all these reckless actions based on their self-aggrandizement. But actually, the original meaning of hubris is a bit different. The original meaning of hubris in ancient Athens was the intentional use of violence to humiliate or degrade. Let me read that to you again. The original meaning of hubris is the intentional use of violence meant to humiliate or degrade. Now, the word's connotation, or the connotation, the meaning of hubris, changed over a period of time. And eventually it came to be defined as an inflated sense of self, of egoism that leads a person to disregard the divinely fixed limits placed on human action in an ordered cosmos. Now, that sounds like a lot. Okay, we get the inflated sense of self that leads someone to disregard the divinely fixed limits on human action in an ordered cosmos. Well, basically, what that was basically understood is like, I'm so full of myself that I'm an exception, or I challenge the gods to tell me that I'm not the greatest thing in the world, or something along those lines. That's kind of like how it appears in Greek drama, the understanding of hubris. What we might kind of understand this idea, this inflated sense of self that leads a person to disregard the divinely fixed limits on human action in an ordered cosmos, can actually range anywhere from an irreverence towards God or religion, to an irreverence towards rules or laws, to an idea that we can do whatever we want with this planet, to the idea that now that we've harnessed nuclear energy, we're godlike, and we're now going to do all these horrible things like blow ourselves up because we just like are so full of ourselves and haven't really understood our place in nature. So you can sort of see how that antiquated idea actually begins to take on a kind of relevance when you think of it in terms of today's modern society. Now, the most famous example of hubris, and what I'm using is the idea of the intentional use of violence to humiliate or degrade. The most famous example of hubris comes from ancient Greece, and it was demonstrated to us in the case of Medeus, who in 348 BC struck, or rather, shall we say, bitch slapped Demosthenes in the face when Demosthenes was dressed in ceremonial robes and performing an official function. So Demosthenes is dressed in ceremonial robes. He's performing a ceremonial function. There's all sorts of people who are, you know, who are witnessing this, and whatever ceremonial function he's performing, they're, you know, showing great reverence and respect. And this guy named Medeus like shows up and just like bitch slaps him right across the face. And that's back in 348 BC. Now, if you're having a trouble sort of defining, well, why would that have any relevance to us here in 2022? I would ask you just to sort of think of Will Smith at the Academy Awards, because the exact same thing happened in that instance where Will Smith stepped on stage where Chris Rock was performing in his ceremonial dress and basically bitch slapped him right across the face in front of everyone, making everyone go, you know, in horror and disbelief. Okay, so this is the idea of showing violence to disregard or to humiliate. All right. Now, because the Greek, okay, this is where things got a little bit confusing in the evolution of the word. The Greeks had a word for error, okay, which was harmatia, okay, but they did not have a word for sin, okay? So the Greeks had a word for error, harmatia, but they did not have a word for sin. And it was the poets Hesiod and Aeschylus who actually borrowed the word hubris and interchanged it with the word sin. Okay. And so the sin was action, wrongful action done, taken against divine order. A sin is, if you were, okay, I was raised a Catholic. So sin to me as a Catholic was you do something that not only does harm to someone or yourself, but it does harm to God. So this is this idea that you're doing something which is doing harm to the divine order or to the divinity itself. Now, and in that understanding, the usage of hubris is a kind of impiety, not impropriety, it's impiety. What it shows is a lack of reverence for God or for sacred institutions. Okay, so that's the second meaning of hubris. The first meaning is, violence taken to humiliate. And the second one is this wrongful action against divine order. Okay, like sin. But then the third part of hubris comes to us through literary critics in the past century who recast hubris as a tragic flaw. And so they took the word harmatia, one of those pronunciations hopefully will work, harmatia. They took the word harmatia, which means error, and they recast it as a tragic flaw. And this was often expressed by heroes or the leads in Greek tragedies, people like Oedipus Rex or Ajax or Prometheus or, people who have this sort of tragic flaw that comes out that spells their eventual undoing. So hubris is this idea of violence to humiliate or degrade. Hubris is also this idea of a sin against the divine will, thinking that you're on the same level of God or doing something which is wrong, that is morally wrong and upsets the divine order. Okay, and then the final one, which is the idea of the tragic flaw. I want you to think about these three ideas in terms of our current times. Okay, the ideas of violence being used to humiliate and degrade. I want you to think of exceptionalism. That's another way of thinking of hubris. It's as an exceptionalism or privilege that I can do whatever I want because the rules do not apply to me. And then I want you to think of tragic flaw. Tragic flaw is a deficiency in character that leads to the downfall of that person. Now, the violence used to humiliate and degrade, we can easily see in the Mars and Pluto square. This is something that violence and anger is actually running quite rampant these days. The exceptionalism, I can do whatever it is that I want to do because the rules or the laws do not apply to me. We can see easily in the planet Jupiter, and it's forming a square to the sun right this week. We can see that sort of inflated sense of self that comes out. But the interesting one to me, I mean, all of them are interesting, but the third one to me that sort of lends itself to reflection is the idea of tragic flaw. A tragic flaw is a deficiency in character that leads to that character's downfall. Okay, so it can be a deficiency in your own character that leads to your own downfall. So let's return to this idea of don't trust anyone over 30, okay, which was the battle cry of the 60s, of the late 60s, mid to late 60s. Don't trust anyone over 30. And this is what I sort of love about astrology and also Greek philosophy and why astrology and Greek, they're so tied into one another, is the sense of irony. So this idea of don't trust anyone over 30, only to become the person over 30 who's not to be trusted. Okay, so that's the sort of thing to think about. This is what Pluto sort of lends our thinking towards, that in our efforts, that in our efforts to do something, maybe something that's righteous or whatever, we don't understand how we're becoming the very thing that we're railing against. This is something that Saturn does a little bit, but Pluto really does quite a bit. Pluto almost amplifies that idea. Okay, so it's this idea of this fatal flaw or the tragic flaw. So again, this idea of like, you know, don't trust anyone over 30. And now that these people have become well over 30, they have become the ones not to be trusted. Okay, so with Pluto, particularly Pluto and Capricorn, it's this idea that you could become the very thing that you've railed against. So what we see in our society are, you know, when we think of, you know, railing against only to become the thing that we've railed against, I really want you to think about that this week, only becoming the thing that you've railed against. So we see violence, right? Mars, Pluto square, violence, tremendous violence. But we also see the extraordinary things that are said to justify it. Okay, we can see violence in our society, but the extraordinary things that are said to either justify the violence or to justify the inaction, okay, which is the other part of the square, right? Mars is action, the Pluto, especially in Capricorn, is a holding, repressing energy. It could be inaction. So we see violence and the extraordinary things that are said to justify it, or violence and the extraordinary things that are said and done to justify inaction. We see exceptionalism. We see exceptionalism in how people can get so carried away in their anger that they don't see how the rules apply to them. So that's something else that I want you to keep in mind this week. And then, as I said before, let's see what Pluto is really asking us to take a look at, okay, this week. And what Pluto is asking us to take a look at is the fatal flaw. The fatal flaw, the deficiency in character, the fatal flaw is also the crack, you know, the crack in someone's character, the crack that is in someone's character that is papered over with excuses and rationales, the crack which only grows wider and deeper over time. Remember that a modern planet's influence is strongest right when it enters a zodiac sign, and then again, right when it departs it. All right. So when Pluto entered Capricorn, its influence was most powerful in that 2008-2009 period when it entered. And now it's growing again as it prepares to leave Capricorn and enter Aquarius in 2023, retrogrades and then re-enters Aquarius at the beginning of 2024. You can't help but, you know, remember that, you know, Pluto essentially came in on a recession, 2008, 2009, and it may very well be leaving on a recession, which is this period from now to 2023 and then 2024. But what I want you to think about is, again, Pluto. Pluto is the planet of ordeals and the transformations that arise from them. So in other words, you don't get your transformation without going down into the underworld first. And going down into the underworld is always an ordeal. So Pluto has brought us the ordeals and the things that we will be reflecting on and thinking about as Pluto prepares to leave the zodiac sign of Capricorn is the transformation that's risen from it. Think of where you were in 2008 and 9 versus where you are right now. Think of the ordeals you've gone through. But what are the transformations that have risen from them? These are the things that I want you to think about this week. And I want you to continue thinking about as Pluto winds up its stay in the zodiac sign of Capricorn.
Hi there, astrology lover. It's Amanda from Astrology Hub, and I'm so excited to let you know that we've officially opened the doors to our flagship membership program, The Inner Circle. For over 5 years, we've been gathering every month to learn astrology from the best astrologers in the world. The Inner Circle is guided by a new astrologer teacher each month who teaches a mastery class on their top chart reading technique and provides live forecasts. Not to mention so many amazing bonuses like cosmic updates sent directly to your phone, live chart reading demonstrations, and 20% off discounts on all Astrology Hub products. We have some very special astrologers lined up for the rest of 2022, including Adam Summer, Christopher Renstrom, Jen Zart, and more. Don't miss out on joining a private community of thousands of like-minded astrology students. We only open 2 times per year, Go to astrologyhub.com/innercircle22 to learn from the masters and transform your life in the process. I can't wait to welcome you on the inside.
Hi there, I'm Amy Escobar, a producer of the Horoscope Highlight Show with Christopher Renstrom. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology Hub Podcast Network. If you love the show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share it. And if you don't know how to do that, here's how you can leave a review in Apple Podcasts on iPhone. Make sure you're on the landing page for the Astrology Hub Podcast and not an individual episode. Scroll down to the bottom until you reach Ratings and Reviews. Click one of the 5 stars under Tap to Rate to leave a rating, and under the Most Recent Review, tap the Write a Review button. And if you're on another device, just find out how to leave a review on whatever podcast player you use. Then, share what you love about the show or how it helps you navigate your life. We'd love to hear your stories. And by doing this, you make it possible to make shows like Horoscope Highlights happen every week. Thank you again for tuning in, for being a part of our community, and for making astrology a part of your life.